Welcome to Pack Mentality. I'm Matt Bauer. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today on the podcast, we have a very special guest. We have Katie, who is one of our original listeners and who's been a big supporter of us ever since we started the podcast. And she balances her life as a single mom of two energetic boys and a dedicated fourth grade teacher. And she's obviously a CrossFitter. And despite some of these challenges of motherhood, Katie has impressively transformed her fitness, losing half her body fat and gaining a lot of muscle over the 7 years that she's done CrossFit. But that doesn't go without saying that she's had her hurdles that she'll be sharing with us today and sharing her story, which we're very excited about. Along with the realities of battling issues with food and overtraining. And you're on the mission now to qualify for quarters next year. Am I right?
Yes, I am. Next year, fingers crossed.
Quarterfinals. I like it. So she'll be training for that, continuing her CrossFit journey, which we're very excited to watch and see how she does. And without further ado, let's dive into her inspiring story. Katie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. All right, let's get right into it. Yes. Tell us a story of, you know, how you first kind of got into CrossFit and what made you stick with it for 7 years.
Well, I went to like the traditional gyms, like Planet Fitness, like those kind of like, I don't know what they're called, Globo gyms, I guess that's what they're called.
Yeah.
It was fine. Like I was doing my thing. I was working out. I was getting progressively stronger. And a friend of mine, she was doing CrossFit prior to me joining. And she said, hey, our gym's doing a Groupon where you spend X amount of money to come and do like a month trial kind of thing. You want to come try it? I was like, okay, sure. I mean, it won't hurt anything. And I went, I did the Groupon. I joined for a month and I loved it. I loved that my main thing was I didn't have to program anything. It was programmed for me. I just literally show up and do it.
Yeah.
And then once I got through like the initial like beginning where they train you with like the PVC pipe on how to do movements before they actually just throw you in to the class, I was like, this is kind of nice. Like I was really like weak back then. Like I thought I was strong. And then I went into a CrossFit gym and I said, oh no, I'm not. I'm not that strong. And then between the sessions with the trainer, I think it's called, he was doing like the Ollie lifting, like the he was teaching us technique and all that stuff. And then once I actually started the CrossFit classes, I was like, oh, I can do this. Like, it's not that hard. Like, people have this misconception of CrossFit where it's like this intense, like where you're flipping tires. You do flip tires. You do all these crazy things, but like not everyone, they don't expect everyone to just come in and do it. It's more of like, how can we build on what you already know and basically transform your body and your mind into doing things that you never thought possible? And when the month was over, I was like, I like it. I think I'm going to stay. And then I did my first open that year. And I was like 2 months pregnant when I did the open. And so my first ever CrossFit experience, doing my first ever open while 2 months pregnant. So my score was not good at all. But I realized that I was like changing my body overall and my confidence was going up with it. And so like ever since then, I'm like, yeah, like what else can I do? Like what's the next thing I can train for? So yeah, that's like the beginning stages of my journey for CrossFit.
Fantastic. I love that. There's so many great stories like that. And I think a lot of our stories kind of start off similar to that. Before you got into the gym, what were some common misconceptions that you had before you actually stepped foot into a CrossFit gym?
That you had to like be super fit already. Like it was one of those things where like you, to be fair, like the media only shows the, you know, like the Daniel Brandons, the Danny Spiegels, like the super fit people. So people like the everyday were just like, wow, that's intimidating. Like I can't do that. Like I can't do all these things. So that was a big misconception I had, that you had to look that way to be good at CrossFit. And then when I started like spending more time in it, I realized it was a huge community. It was everybody genuinely cheering people on and wanting you to be better. And I used to be afraid to like still be doing the workout when everyone else is done, but then I'm like, no, like these people want me to do good, and if this is my best and I'm not like one of the first ones done, that's fine. So that definitely was a misconception that I'm glad it just like left my brain. I was like, no, I could do this.
And yeah,
it's different movements to go from like powerlifting to Olympic lifting and all this, it's different. It trains your body differently.
Mm-hmm.
I can get stronger pretty quick with traditional lifting, like deadlifts, all that stuff. I can get strong really fast.
Right.
Not so much with Olympic lifting. It's like really sad, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better slowly. But yeah, so once I kind of got that idea that I can't do it out of my head, mm-hmm. it was like, well, yeah, I can, and everybody else can.
Mm.
So yeah.
What were, did you have any kind of strategies to kind of pull yourself out of that rut mentally, or was it just something that you just immersed yourself in the environment and it just kind of came about?
I'm a very, what's the word? I'm a very addictive person. Like I, mm-hmm. when I find something I like, I don't want to stop. Like yeah. I want to keep it going. And the beauty of CrossFit is my trainer at the coach at the time at the gym I was at, he said he would rather us come in 5 days a week and scale every WOD than only come in once or twice mm-hmm. in our exit.
Yes.
He said great that advice. He would rather, he'd rather us be consistent over time than just like only come in and kill ourselves for 2 WODs and mm-hmm. then be so sore that we can't function. And I'm a mom at the end of the day. I can't be so sore and beat down that I can't pick my kids up or mm-hmm. I can't walk. I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so when I figured that out, and at the end of the day, I made the decision that I'm going to get healthy for my kids. I'm going to do whatever it takes because, you know, Lord willing, I'm going to have grandkids one day. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be that active grandparent with them. And that starts now, not when I'm 50.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're not, you know, you're not pushing it off. You're being proactive in having a long-term vision and a longer time horizon for your mm-hmm. health. So that way you can bank that and, you know, be physically active in those later years. And I think a lot of people ignore that because we're so used to thinking about only the here and now and the instant gratification that our long-term health is something that if we don't start soon enough at some point, it's going to be too late.
Yep. I agree 100%. It's that instant gratification that I struggled with a little bit in the beginning too.
Mm.
Just finding like as far as like what diet worked and, mm-hmm. you know, X, Y, and Z. So I definitely understand that. I'm just trying to tell people that you want something that's sustainable over a long period of time. Cause at the end of the day, we only have one life.
Yeah.
We don't want to be so like consumed with, you know, whether social media or this and that to where we're missing out on the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely look to the future because nobody in my family, except for my cousins, are very active people.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to, my mom's only 40, I don't even know, 50. Wow. I think she just turned 50 and you couldn't tell by like looking at her and talking to her. She's not a very active person. And I'm like, so you're only 50 years old. Like there's people at CrossFit or even like the regular gym that are 50 that are, you know, lifting or at least walking. So I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever it takes now to where later on it's easier.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people forget that once you kind of get going, it's a lot easier to maintain than it is to get in shape. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of upfront costs, you know, mentally, physically to kind of get the ball rolling. But once you're there, you know, maintaining that is a lot easier than, you know, starting from scratch.
For sure. I paid the piper for 2 years of my life. I mean, I restricted, I dieted, I really honed in on my fitness for a good 2 years of my life. Like I didn't go out. I didn't mm-hmm. but I knew that's what I had to do to get to where I wanted to be. And like I said, I have that addictive personality that can go either a good way or a bad way. And then it definitely led to overtraining and under eating and all that stuff. But I had to learn that the hard way
mm-hmm.
to where I got the results that I wanted, but at what cost? Like I got, you know, my health got altered and all that stuff. So when I tweaked that, I was like, okay, well, I already kind of did the brunt work. Now mm-hmm. it's just a matter of keeping it going and making like better choices and better decisions.
Absolutely. I love that. That's such a great story so far. And kind of backtracking, you did mention earlier that you did struggle with some of that instant gratification at the start. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've never been a like quote unquote skinny person. I've always, you know, had like a little bit more meat on my bones, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the CrossFit gyms that I've came into contact with, then the members are skinny and I'm not like knocking that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just don't look like that. And I never have. So to see that, and I don't like, I love the women that in my gym, I love the CrossFit community for what it's just doing for women mentally as a whole. I think it's beautiful. But it wasn't always like that for me. It's like, I don't look like her. like, why not? Like, why can't I look like her? So it led to doubting myself and, like I said, going to the extreme of overtraining and undereating because mm-hmm. I wanted to look like that.
Right.
And then I had a baby in the middle of all that, and that was not fun. The first pregnancy was really bad. I was sick the entire time, so I couldn't keep anything down except for carbs. And people are thinking, oh, that's a godsend. It is, but when you gain 60 pounds, that's all you can eat is carbs. It's not.
Yeah.
And then my second child, when I was pregnant with him, I basically worked out and did CrossFit every day until the day I gave birth because I could. And it was a different pregnancy then. So during my time in CrossFit, my bodies went like, you know, different phases now. And now I'm done having kids. So I'm just like, what, like, where can my body be? Like, what can I do now to make myself better? And now I look at these women and there are still some, I'm just like, I find myself thinking like, I don't look like her. If I have to snap out of it, because I'm like, no, especially being a teacher, that I've had to like basically retrain my thinking, because I don't want to make a comment around, you know, my little girl students and then them look at themselves with a complex. Or even my sons, like, I'll make a comment, my 8-year-old is a mama's boy, and I made a comment, I'm like, I need to lose more weight. And he's like, why? And I was like, well, just because I'm a little, you know, heavier than I want to be. And he looked at me and said, don't call yourself fat. And I was like, okay. Like, so like he does check me. He's like, mom, like, get out of that. He's like, you're not fat.
An 8-year-old keeps you in check.
Oh, an 8-year-old.
I love it.
Yeah. He's a mama's boy for sure.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. What kind of advice would you give someone if they're just like you? Because a lot of people struggle with this, with like the image and wanting to be, you know, seeing like the top tier athletes, or even seeing, you know, the people at the gym, at their CrossFit gym or even the regular gym. And they kind of get that feeling that they need to be like that, kind of like how you did. What's some advice you would give to someone like that to kind of pull them out of that rut and remind them that at the end of the day, it's about you, your health, mm-hmm. and your fitness?
I would say one of the biggest things that I've had to do, and I recommend it to a lot of people, is to do a social media cleanse, to get off social media for a little bit, because I do feel like that plays a part as a woman, like in our mentality. Like, we're supposed to look like certain people in Hollywood, and that might not be achievable. We're not millionaires. We don't have, you know, private chefs. We don't have personal trainers. We don't have all this stuff. And at the end of the day, my faith is important to me. And in the Bible, it says, you know, like, comparison's the thief of joy. So it's when you compare yourself, you're constantly comparing yourself. You're robbing yourself of who you are as an individual. And there are going to be things that you're better at that the person you're idolizing may not be. Mm-hmm. And it's like the same with me. Like, if I compare myself to a skinnier girl, I can probably lift heavier than she can, but her cardio is better than mine. And that's fine. We're not all going to be on the same, you know, playing field. And society overall has said to women for so long, you can't lift weights. You can't get bulky. You're going to look like a man. And so it was like, I'm not knocking Pilates. I'm not knocking aerobics or anything like that. If that's what you do, that's what you do. But now I'm like, we have a chance as women to really change people's perspective of us as a whole. Like, we can be full-time parents. We can be like full-time working moms and still go to the gym and still take care of ourselves, because that's important too. We just can't be in that mindset of constantly comparing to other people, because you don't know their backstory. You don't know what they went through. You don't know if they even look at you the way that you look at them. Like, someone can be looking at you like, oh my gosh, like, I wish I looked like her, or I lifted like her. You don't know. And if you are constantly comparing yourself to others, you're missing that opportunity to reach other people.
Yeah, no, I love how you worded that and how you you mentioned, you know, that social media detox, because I mean, we all have problems with comparison, right? And then I like what you said, that we lack context on what their full life actually looks like. And also, not to mention, even if you do get to like that superstar status level on social media or celebrity, the amount of work and stress to stay there and stay relevant,
right,
cannot be fun at all. So you also have to remember that there's going to be a trade-off. There's pros and cons to everything. And a lot of times, reaching high levels of anything, you know, whether you're a CrossFit athlete, whether you're in business, whether it's social media, that to stay relevant, there's a lot of work and effort and sacrifice and stress that are going to have to go into that, which a majority of people wouldn't want. I wouldn't want that.
Right.
So
like, I'm good.
Yeah. There's so many other factors that go into it that I think we just look at just only the pros of that without actually looking at, you know, there's always a cost to everything. There's always a bill to be paid, whether it's for anything. And yeah, that's a lesson that I'm learning as well. Can you share how your fitness journey kind of evolved through motherhood and how you managed the fluctuations with your body?
When I had my second son, I was definitely more active with that pregnancy than the first one. So it already in and of itself boosted my confidence as far as like our bodies as like overall, when we have children and we have babies, our bodies change. Like not just externally, but internally, all of our organs shift, like everything changes to bring that life into the world. And that gives you some kind of like complex, but in a good way. Cause you're just like, I just had children. Like what can't I do kind of thing? Like I literally worked out the day before I had my son. Like I did a WOD and then like I went into labor the next day.
Wow.
And I was like, that was so like, just inspiring to myself because I'm like, I did that. Like I worked out and it was tremendously scaled because I was like 10 months pregnant and I was like, I'm not gonna like, you off. There's just the things you can't do. And then the next day I had my son and I was like, I did that. Like, that's awesome. And now when I see them, like I said before, I wanna be so active with them and I want to be someone that they can be proud of. And they love watching me work out, like absolutely love it. They'll sit on the floor and just mm-hmm. watch me. And one time we were eating dinner and I told my 4-year-old, I said, honey, you have to eat your food because it's protein. It's good for your muscles. I said, don't you want to be strong? And he's like, yeah, like you. And it made me feel good. I was awesome. I was like, so you know that like I'm strong. And like whenever we're at the gym, like they want to learn how to do pull up. My 4-year-old can almost do a pull up.
Wow.
And I'm like, I kind of don't like that because it took me so long. And it's like, you just jump up on the bar and you could do it. I'm like, that's not whatever. I'll encourage it. But I'm just like a little upset. It took me over a year of training to do that. And then my 8-year-old, he's more of into the like gymnastics-y kind of thing because he's very long and lengthy. Mm-hmm. Whereas my 4-year-old's like short and stocky. So I feel like my 4-year-old, he would benefit better from like lifting. Mm-hmm. And my older one would be better at like the gymnastic stuff.
Okay.
So, but they love watching me work out. They, when I look over at them and they're just watching, I can see that they're proud. And mm-hmm. as a mom, just like, sweet. Like not only that, but just being a girl overall in general, inspiring other kids to work out. And we don't have to like especially my girl students in my classroom, they're always asking me questions. Like we have like a little mini gym at mm-hmm. our school. And so like I have talked about taking them in there and teaching them just like body weight stuff, just getting their body moving. Mm-hmm. And when we come back from spring break on Monday, we're going to start Murph prep. So we're going to be working on, you know, push-ups and then air squats. And there's like certain spots in the gym where I can teach them how to do ring rows because we have rings and all that stuff. So I like that I can do that. I like that I can pass that off to such a young generation.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you for bringing that up because I think that especially these days, it's hard to have any kind of good role model for fitness because at least when I was growing up, like I saw fitness as a punishment, as something that, you know, you do when you do something wrong or as like, I'm like, I remember specifically being like, why would anyone pay for this? Or why would anyone voluntarily, like not only pay for this, but do that voluntarily? Like, what a waste of time to put yourself through something physically.
I didn't like PE growing up.
No, join the club.
I did not like PE. I was like, I don't want to run a mile. Like, I don't want to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually paying to have it. Like,
oh, yeah. And it's funny. Like, I coach it now. Like, I coach people on how to run miles. And I don't run a mile.
You're just like all you gym girlies. Like, how did it feel growing up hating PE? This is rough.
Yeah. And so it's really good, though, that you're making that association more of a positive thing. Like, this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And you're showing them the ropes. And you're showing them how to do it properly. And to celebrate what they can do physically.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times, like, we get so stuck in a rut where it's all intellectual or it's all... or it could be that, you know, it's kind of going back to fitness being a punishment or something that you do for like negative body image, that this is actually something that you do that makes you feel better and that mm-hmm. will increase your lifespan.
Yeah, for sure. And we just had the open and my kids, I had it on the TV in the room. So like we had, it was like every Thursday we had it on there and they got to watch it and they got to see, they're like, you do that? And I'm like, I do, not as good as them,
but I do do it.
Yeah. And so I remember one time, it was the first one. It was the burpee dumbbell snatch one. And they were like, you do the burpees? And I was like, yeah, they're not fun, but I mean, I enjoy them a little bit better now than when I did before. So they were like, can you teach us how? So we all as a class went out on the blacktop and I taught them how to do burpee jump overs. So like they have these numbers on the blacktop where they line up and they went to their number. And when I said go, they did a burpee and they had to jump over their number and do another burpee. And I was recording them. And in that moment, it was like inspiring for me. Cause I'm like, these kids, like they wanna know how to do this stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I for sure got to watch my attitude on it now.
Cause
I can't say anything bad or they're going to like get a complex or something.
Right.
So every Thursday was a thing. It was like, what is the workout going to be? Mm-hmm. And more so for me, cause I was doing it and I was like, oh, I got to watch it. And I was, every time I watched it, I was so nervous. I couldn't let them see. Mm-hmm. I had to be all like big and bad.
Yeah.
I could do that. So I definitely love, especially my girls, can you teach us how to do a pull up? Like go through my phone and watch my workout videos. And they love it because they're like, you're lifting like heavy. And it's a running joke in the class where they'll throw out an astronomical number and then they'll say, can you deadlift that? And I'm like, well, if it's past 300, no, I can't, but I will eventually. So that it's just to see how they're treating it. And I don't want to make it miserable for them. I want to make it fun. Because to me, it was for 2 years, I saw it that way, to where it was a punishment on my body.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, I had a cookie, I'm going to go run. Or I had a cookie, I have to do 3 workouts today. And it was not, I'm not like proud of my thought process during that time, but I've learned from it. And now I'm trying to make sure other people don't go through that, because it was not healthy by any stretch at all.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, who hasn't struggled with something like that, you know, in their fitness journey? And it's really good that you notice that. And instead of seeing it only as a negative thing, you're like, oh, well, how can I prevent this from happening to the other people who are looking up to me, who I'm showing this to? So,
yeah,
no, that's great. And you clearly have a busy schedule managing all this stuff. So, you know, what specific challenges have you faced, you know, as a single mom, balancing work, parenting, and your CrossFit training?
It's time. I feel like sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to get everything done. And that was a struggle in the beginning, recently going through a divorce, from going from having, in a sense, a second person to help, you know, with things, to it just being on you for X amount of time. I struggled with how can I prioritize certain things in my day, but I never gave up on my fitness. I said, look, I don't care if my kids are in the gym doing their homework after school. Like, I need, this is my hour to myself, to where they're seeing me work out. I'm still keeping that a priority. They're still with me. It's not like I abandoned them or anything like that. They're still doing their homework, what they need to do. I just told myself, I'm not going to give that up. Now, granted, when they're with their dad, I could train a little bit longer because I don't have them. I don't have, you know, like extra, you know, things I have to do. So I've had to readjust in terms of, you know, like going from 2-a-days when I don't have them to just one, and making that 1 hour the most that I can, because I really want to be with them at the end of the night. I don't want to be so wrapped up in the gym that like we're in a rush to go to bed when we get home. But I do like having them there. And it is hard. It took a little bit of time to really get on a routine and to process things, because going through that was a huge traumatic event for myself and my children. So I did take some time, I don't want to say time off of my eating, but I wasn't so like chaotic. I wasn't so like focused on what I was eating. I was still working out, that never stopped, but I was more lax with what I was consuming. And I saw that I needed that time, that I put in 2.5 years of solid work and like everything with my eating. And then that hit and I was like, what do I do? And food was the only thing at the time that I had quote unquote control over. So I was like, I'm just going to eat. And I didn't gain a lot of weight in that process, thankfully, because I still kept my workouts and stuff like that up. But it did take a toll on overall, like, my mental health. And then I realized, okay, like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, what am I doing wrong here? And I realized that when I was eating better and I was eating more whole food and clean, not only was my body performing better, but my mind was. I just felt better overall. And then so now I'm back on that train. Now that the divorce is final and we're finally adjusting to this new life, that things are finally starting to go back up in the way that I want. But it was a little bit of a, like, downward, I guess, downward slope for a little bit.
Yeah. No, 100%. Thank you for being, you know, open and sharing about that, because a lot of people go through things similar like this, of where, you know, life, you know, just life happens. And unfortunately, a lot of people use that as a way to, well, not use it, but a lot of people, it's really easy to fall off the bandwagon mm-hmm. when it comes to your own health and realizing that your health is really the only thing you have and will actually help you get through it. So if someone's going through a similar situation like you did, what's some advice you would give them to help get them through it while still maintaining their health? Not necessarily trying to get fitter, but just being like, hey, let's not completely fall off the train. Let's keep some momentum going.
Yeah, I would just say my main thing would be, for what worked for me, was just keeping up at the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be days where you cannot give quote unquote 100%. But if you only have 40% and you give all of that 40, you're still giving your 100% for the day. And there were days when I showed up and I'm like, I don't want to be here. Like, I would cry in between sets. I would go through this mental battle. Mm. But the more I was going to the gym, the more I just refused to let that go. That became more of like my calming place, to where like I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't thinking about the divorce or the laundry or the dinner, or I wasn't thinking about any of that. It was me and a barbell, or me and whatever the workout was for the day. And you need that. You need that for yourself to get through that. Cause it is hard mentally. You start to feel all these things and you start to think bad about yourself. It's really easy to go into that victim mentality and start to feel bad about yourself. It's fine to sit in it for a little bit and to process, like, don't ignore your feelings. Don't ignore the stages to the grieving mm-hmm. process, because mm-hmm. it's your grieving. It's the loss of a life, basically. You can't neglect that. You have to properly go through the channels. And I do feel like the gym is a good space for that. And being around people helps. When I was going through this, and there were days when we just sat and talked after, and you need that. You need that community around you. You cannot go through it alone. It's really hard to go through it alone. And the gym is a place where, even if you go and just walk, or even if you go and just stretch, stay in that habit of just going to the gym, because it's really easy to break that habit. My car, I always say my car knows where the gym is, because mm-hmm. sometimes I'm just driving and I'll be literally driving to the gym, even though yeah. I have no intention of going at that time. I was like, well, my car wants to go to the gym. But I just built up that habit, and just realizing that this too shall pass. And it's hard to think that when you're in the moment going through it. But I kept telling myself, like, I'm not the only one that's got divorced. I'm not the only one that will be divorced. Like, there's people that have overcome this, and I can. And there's like this popular audio going around on Instagram where people use it when they're lifting, and when they're actively lifting, it goes quiet. And that's what it is for me. Like, I hear so much noise, but as soon as I'm working out, I'm not hearing anything. I don't hear nothing. I don't hear any doubt, any negativity, any nothing. It's literally just me in the gym. And that's what my biggest thing I would tell people is, you can go, you know, if you want to eat, you can eat whatever, but don't let go of the gym. Like, keep that, like, do not lose that, because it's so easy to fall off. It's so easy to fall off. And then if you aren't mentally stable or strong, it's hard to get back on that mm-hmm. horse. So just don't give up on that.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny, because I always wish there was something that I could tell someone that would just pump them up and it'd be a silver bullet to keep them motivated to keep coming. But you're right. Like, you just, there is no silver bullet to keep you motivated despite those hard times. And you're right. So many people go through this, and Some people can push through just like you and have great resilience. And, you know, sometimes people fall off and it can be really tough to peel yourself off the ground and get yourself to the gym. But I like what you said about how, you know, it goes quiet. And I 100% agree with you, because there are times in my life too where I've been ridiculously stressed or you know, I didn't want to go to the gym, but I made myself go anyways. And you're right. Like when it does go quiet, because it's just you and the barbell, it's just you and the workout, it's just you and the next rep. And that puts you in a mindset to where you are in somewhat that physical anguish is actually beneficial, because mm-hmm. you don't feel anything else. And so you can't think about all the negativity. So it helps you. It puts you in almost that meditative state. And I think that's why so many people fell in love with CrossFit so early on, because even when you're doing a regular gym workout, you can kind of fall wayside or get stuck on your phone or get distracted. But in a CrossFit, it's like you, for the next 20, 30 minutes, you are not going to be happy physically, but mentally you won't be able to think about anything else.
Yeah, 100%. Cause I still do like lifting on the side as well. And I still go to one of those like Globo gyms on the side. And it is different, because at that kind of gym, you know, you can get away with it. You're just like, oh, I could take like one or two more minutes. Like,
exactly.
Because I'm on my phone or whatever. I don't need to go. But at a CrossFit class, like you're on like the clock. Like you gotta move through stuff. Like you can't just, especially today's workout. I don't think I only had like 20 seconds of rest.
That's still really good. That's a hard workout.
Okay. And she was like, you got to grab the blue kettlebell. And I was like, okay. I didn't realize it's different weights like for different gyms. So mm-hmm. my blue kettlebell, I want to say it was 44 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's 44 pounds. That's nothing. And I grab it and I was like, this is not 44 pounds.
But you still did it.
I still did it.
You still did it.
That's the kind of person, like once I grab it, it is what it is. I'm just going to like just power through. And then, she said, there's 9 feet targets and then there's 10 feet targets. Well, I've been training for the 10 foot target just because I don't really want to train for the 9, because I feel like the 10 is just in everything, like in the open and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I purposely went to the 10 foot target and I was like, I'm only 5'2". That's a long way to go for the 14 pound wall ball.
Yeah.
And so I got done and I was like, anywhere from 18 to like 23 seconds were left on the clock. And I was like, that's like not enough time to think about anything else.
Yeah.
And so like that workout was perfect for what we're talking about mm-hmm. because you literally are only focusing on breathing and not dying in that workout. Because like you're focusing on like, okay, the next one, what do we got to do now? And thankfully they were just the Russian. I didn't have to go all the way over because I don't think my shoulders would have been very happy with that. I would have tried anyway. But that was like today's workout was a perfect example of that, is you don't have the time to think about the laundry or to think about anything else. Like it's just you and that clock and then whatever's going on. And then when you get done, you have like this sense of accomplishment. Like I did that. Like it was hard, but I did it. And you know, like I'm slowly getting better. I'm building up onto that every day. And you need that confidence for yourself every now and then.
Oh yeah. I love what you said about confidence, because that was a big thing that I learned from when I first started CrossFit was, just like what you said, like there's a lot of things I didn't think I could do. And so when I did come out on the other side and I was like, wow, I did do that. I did actually finish the workout, or I actually did do weight that I didn't think I could do. It was such a huge confidence boost. And then it transferred to other aspects mm-hmm. of my life, because I was like, well, if I can do things physically that I thought for sure I couldn't do, then there's other things outside the gym that I know I can't do that I could probably do. Mm-hmm. So why not go for it? So it kind of gave me a little bit more of like, I wouldn't say aggressive, but more willing to try new things and being like, let's put myself out there a little bit more and see what I can do. And if I don't make it, it's just like a workout. I'll just try again, or I'll just keep trying or trying something new. So
and then it's okay to start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh,
like really, truly seeing what your body can do. Because is the biggest battle of anything in our life is our mind. So if our mind tells us we can't do it, we're not going to. And I always joke around, no one likes to take multiple trips from the car to the house with the groceries.
100%.
I feel like, so whenever we're like farmer carrying, I'm like, this is why we farmer carry, so we could go get all of our groceries out of the car on our arms or whatever and do this. And so it's when you find little things like that on how does this correlate to real life, then you start to see like, okay, I do need it. Like when we're lifting off the ground, lifting, like using your legs and not your back translates, especially being a mom, picking up our kids.
Oh yeah.
We pick up our kids all the time. My 8-year-old still likes to get picked up. I'm to the point where I'm like, I am not going to do that. You are just starting to get a little too heavy for me. But I still can. And it's because I work out. And it's because I do these things like walking up my stairs used to exhaust me. I'm not going to lie. It used to really take a lot out of me. Now I can run up them and it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's little things like that because of the gym that I could do all of these things. I can go outside with my kids and play for hours on end and not be like the parent that's like on her phone on the bench or like just exhausted.
Oh yeah. I can't stand that. It's one of my pet peeves. It's I know I shouldn't judge, but I do.
Yeah.
It's like, let's be real. I judge.
Yeah. Cause you're just like, your kid wants to play with you. Like
I know.
On the monkey bars, one thing, when I finally got my pull-ups, it's such an exciting moment for me. And so I wanted to do them everywhere I went. Everywhere I could try to do a pull-up, I would do a pull-up. And it translated to my kids. So like now whenever we go to the playground, my son like looks for monkey bars and he'll say, let's do pull-ups. And, like, so I'll do them with him and all that stuff. And it's just like, we have that connection. We have that bond together. And like they know they're faster than me. So they try to do like races and stuff like that. Cause I'm just not a fast runner, but like, I'm just not, I've accepted that.
Right.
But I'm good at lifting. And so like when we go to the park and things like that, or even when we're walking around like a theme park, I love Disneyland and it used to like exhaust me at the end of the day. Like not even like halfway through my day, I was like, oh my God, like I need to sit down. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, no, let's go. Like, let's keep walking. Let's do what we got to do. And it's because of the gym that all these little things that you take for granted, can get stronger and better because of the gym. And mm-hmm. It's not only physically, but your confidence. Like I just did that. Like, what else can I do? Like, is there anything outside of the gym that I can work on that I can get better at? Like I'm working on a children's book mm-hmm. right now.
That's awesome.
And, you know, going to school, I went to college, I got my master's degree. Mm-hmm. And when I was pregnant with my second son, I wrote a 32-page thesis.
Wow.
And I turned it in a week after I had him because I had that confidence in me that I could do it and I didn't want to give up. So like little things like that, you got to find like little joys and like, okay, if I deadlifted this, what does this deadlift correlate to?
Yeah.
Or like things like that. Like you want to be able to get up off the ground. You want to be able to pull yourself up out of a chair. You want to do all of these things and you could do that, but being in the gym definitely amplifies that for you.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. I love that story that you shared about, you know, it's CrossFit not only increases your work capacity over a broad time and modal domains for fitness, but also a broad time and mold domains for our life in general. And it's really cool to see how you've transferred your fitness journey into things outside of the gym. And I think that's one of those underlooked and most underrated things of fitness in general, is that people kind of view fitness as something that I just have to go to the gym because I just have to, you know, or it is for your health too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people do it for just their health, but look at all the other things that it gives you on top of that, that are not talked about as much as they should be.
Yeah, mental health's a big one. I do feel like at least for me personally, when I'm at the gym, I like love talking to people. I'm a very friendly person. And one of the big things I love about CrossFit is we're all on different journeys. We're all on different levels, but we can all still work out together. We can all still cheer each other on. That's why the Open is such a fantastic time, because you are surrounded by people that have watched you train, that have watched you work out, and you've watched them. And you get to just really see them progress over time and you get to see them get better. And I'm all for that. I'm all for, like, if I'm watching, if I'm done and there's some other people that are still working out, I won't put my stuff away. I'll watch them and I'll cheer them on until they're done, because sometimes they need that. And it is definitely good for your mental health to be surrounded by like-minded people that are also a little twisted and like to pay to get their bodies tortured.
No, kind of playing off that. So I know you've been through a lot and the community really helped you get through a lot of challenging times. What other benefits have you seen from just being a part of the CrossFit community?
Just like overall, like my confidence has gotten better for myself, and that translates over to my children and to my students and stuff like that. Like I want to be a better person all around because of the gym, and I've seen the benefits of it, and I want to help other people. And so like, I'm really trying to make daily changes to stay positive in that positive mindset, because it is really easy to fall back and start thinking negatively about yourself and things like that. So I try to stay on a positive note. Like even when I'm teaching or something, like don't say you can't, just say you can't yet. Like you will, give yourself time. Like no one's, hardly ever are you born a natural athlete or something to where you're just good at it naturally. It takes time. So it's just definitely changed my state of mind, and how can I be better? How can I, like, what else can I do, like, to help other people? Because honestly, it still shocks me when I have people, like, message me on Instagram or something, and they say, your journey is, like, inspiring, and it's made me want to go do better. And I'm so humbled by that, because I'm like, I'm not where I want to be yet. But I want to encourage people that you just start. Just do something. If you're afraid of the gym, if the gym intimidates you, just go for a walk around your block. Just go to the corner. Just, you know, park a little bit further away from the front door, wherever you go, things like that. Like there's little changes that you could do over time.
No. Yeah. I love how you said that. You know, how people message you and they're like, you know, you're inspiring them as well. And you also said that you're not where you want to be yet. And, I think the same thing, because it's really easy to get caught up in like, I should be here, or I should, you know, I need to be here. And you always, you know, there's nothing wrong with that continuous pursuit, because at the end of the day, it's the climb is actually the most satisfying part, because I'd much rather have trajectory and be on a good path of upward movement than to make it and be like, or like attain everything I want. But then what?
Right.
Then what?
Yeah.
Then what do I do?
That actually reminds me, one of the most amazing things I love about CrossFit is you're never done. I've learned that, like, you either can get stronger or you can get faster, or you can always build on it. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, I can do, I don't know, 10 bar muscle ups unbroken, I'm done. Like, no, shoot for 12. Like, you can always, you know, progress. And there's, to me, I've yet to see like a stopping point to where like you're just like, I've truly achieved everything that I want. Yeah. Granted, I'm not a CrossFit like athlete, I'm not a superstar, but for myself, from what I've seen, my own personal journey, like I would set goals for myself. Like it was getting a rope climb and then getting pull-ups, getting all these things. And I would get them. It's okay. Now I'm going to work on two. Now I'm going to work on three, and then I'll switch it. Now I'm working on building up my handstand, push-up endurance, things like that, and getting better at cardio. Cause it's just not where it needs to be. Cardio is just not where it needs to be, but I know that, and I'm okay with that. And I'm working with somebody right now who's helping program, to get my cardio where it needs to be, because it's slacking.
Yeah, it's okay. We all have our, just like anything else, there's pros and cons to everything. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, and that's what makes the journey fun.
Yeah, and you have to be okay with letting one thing kind of fall back to focus on something else. Like, yeah. You have to be okay with that. You can't say, and not saying it's not possible to achieve strength and endurance at the same time, but if you really want to focus on something, that's what you have to put your energy to. Like when I focused on pull-ups, my training consisted of pull-ups and, you know, back stuff and a ton of cardio to get, you know, to drop the weight down and things like that.
Yeah.
And then it switched to, okay, lifting. I had to eat more to get the gains, to get the strength. So you have to be okay with putting one thing to the back burner to achieve something else, to give your full effort into that.
Oh yeah. 100%. You know, to do great things, we must do fewer things.
I know. And that's one thing when I started, you know, working with this person I'm working with, I told him, I said, I really want to work on my, you know, like machine cardio, things like that, because that's what gets me down is my cardio. So he's like, okay, well, we're going to program, you know, certain things Monday through Friday. And I said, okay. I looked at it and I said, well, where's the lifting? And he's like, what lifting? And I said, there's no lifting in this program. He said, because you don't need it. And I said, I kind of do. I want it. And he's like strength's not your... it's not your weak spot. You're fine with that. You need to work on your endurance. So that's why we're kind of taking a break from the lifting for a little bit. And we're focusing on more gymnastics and, you know, getting your cardio, your heart rate up and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, fine. So I had to like look at it and be like, okay, it's only for a few weeks. And then we can start lifting again.
Yeah.
We're good.
yeah, kind of going through different seasons, just like anything else, is that, you know, in order to prove something, you do have to be unbalanced and be hyper-focused in one area, and then be okay with, you know, it, something that you are good at kind of fall to the wayside, but it'll be a lot easier to build up something that you're already good at again than it is to build up something that, that you're still kind of a deficit on. So, and that's okay, because, you know, there's really no other way to do it, unfortunately. I wish there were, but there is no.
No, but there's nothing like achieving what you set out to achieve.
Yeah.
When I got my first pull up, I mean, that alone put me in a whole, like, top percentile of women, because not a lot of women, I didn't realize, can't do a pull-up. Like, it's not something that is achievable for us. So when that happened, I was like, okay, well, what can I do now? And I started working on rope climbs. And the height scared me to death. And I was like, I'm only 5'2", and I'm supposed to climb a 15-foot rope? Mm-hmm. What if I fall? Like, I'm gonna... I was so afraid. And I just kind of said, oh, well, we're going to do it. And I slowly was working toward it. And one day I was at the gym, and it was after the workout. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to try. So I remember very clearly, I put on Britney Spears, which is my pump up music.
Classic.
So I put on Britney, and I even had a Britney shirt on. So I was feeling it that day.
Yeah, okay. So you pulled out all the stops.
All the stops. And then I did a rope climb. And in the video, I have, you know, people in the back cheering and yelling. And that was an amazing time for me, because these people saw the work that I put in, and they've seen that. And it's just like, man, like, rope climbing? Like, rope, like a rope climb? Like, that's something that you would see as, like a torture PE class in, like, the 80s movies. Like, that's, like, what you would
see.
Oh,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it was like... You can't pass PE if you can't do a rope climb. Like, not probably that dramatic, but to me it was.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did that, I was like, okay, what can I do now? And I started working on snatches. Like, I'm horrible at those. Just really bad at snatches. Then I got good at them. And then the open came. And I realized that the strength wasn't the issue. It was the stamina and keeping up my endurance and things like that. So that's when I shifted again. So my workouts have changed, like, for the fourth time now this year, like, what I'm focusing on, and that's okay. So now I'm just like, just trying to get to quarterfinals next year.
Yeah.
Trying so hard.
There we go. Nailed it. I love that. Congrats on that rope climb and the pull-ups, by the way. That is a huge accomplishment. And it's really cool to see how it's so opposite of the standard gym culture, of, like, the toxic gym culture of where everyone's kind of in it for themselves. And whereas in, you know, the CrossFit community, it's like, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your ability level is, but that we will celebrate you regardless of how big or small your accomplishment is. It doesn't
exactly
matter. Yeah, even if it's your first ring row, that's a big deal.
It is a big, those are hard.
Ring rows are hard.
I'd rather do pull-ups than a ring row. Like, they're hard.
Especially when you do ring rows right. They're very difficult.
They're very difficult. They're one of those things that you look and you're just like, oh, I could do it. You're probably not doing it right. Because really, like today with the plank, like, if you think a plank's easy, you're not doing it right.
No, 100%.
It burns. It hurts so bad today.
I know. Well, I'm glad you got through it.
Fairly.
Yeah, that's awesome. So kind of wrapping things up here. So, you know, you're a mom of two, you have a busy lifestyle. We kind of touched on this before, but what other piece of advice would you give other parents specifically who are trying to balance fitness goals and family responsibilities?
I think your fitness goal should be a family responsibility, because your kids need you around for as long as possible. Before you have kids, you think you have all this time in the world that you have. Technically you kind of do when you don't have kids, like, there's really not, you're not bogged down by anything like that. But when you have kids, you're quickly reminded that life really is short and you only have one life. And that includes taking care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, every way possible. And finding a happy medium is different for every family. That's another reason why I like CrossFit gyms, because you can bring your kids and, like, your kids can watch you, your kids, that way you're still with them, but you're doing your own thing. And then it becomes like, my kids know, like, okay, we're going to go to the gym now. Like, it's not an issue. They know, like, okay, this is mommy's time, that we're just going to sit and do our homework, things like that. So I just feel like you need to find what works for you, whether it's making a home gym in your garage and, you know, working out as a family, that's fine too. I just want to tell people, like, just to not take away your fitness. Don't, like, even if it's just to go for a nightly walk with your kids, just do something with them to where you're not putting yourself completely on the back burner, because your kids need you around, and fitness will help with that 100%.
Oh yeah. It's just comes down to kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast with longevity mm-hmm. and having that longer time horizon, and just realizing that at the end of the day, we're going to die eventually.
Yeah.
And, but we do have some sort of control on how that happens, like within reason, of course, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of uncontrollables, but one of my favorite quotes is control the controllables. Mm-hmm. So if you can't, you do have a lot of control over your health, especially your fitness. You know, you can choose what you eat. You can choose to work out or not work out, regardless of time constraints, because you can still do push-ups in your house or do air squats in your house.
Exactly.
And I think people spend so much time trying to avoid it or trying to find a shortcut. And at the end of the day, you know, if you spend all that time that you're looking for shortcuts or trying to cheat the system, you know, you could be using that time for something a lot more productive that will be more effective. And exactly. Will it be uncomfortable? Yes. But you know what? You're an adult.
Yeah. And essentially with CrossFit, it's only an hour. Like, it's not a super long time. Like, I think, what is that they say? Like, an hour is only like 4% of your day, whatever. And that's true. Like, it's only an hour. Like, it's really not the end of the world. Like, it's not going to put you so far back in everything else that to where you can't give yourself that hour. And yeah. Then this, people will say, I just don't have time, but yet they'll binge watch Netflix or something. I'm like, that's fine if you're doing something in like the middle of that. Like if you're watching a show, you know, do squats or do sit-ups or do hollow holds, something to keep your body going so you're not just like sitting around for 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this day and age, we all have smartphones. Everybody has Instagram. Everyone has Netflix or a TV at least. So there are ways to carve out time, because believe me, there have been plenty of times where someone has come to me and been like, you know, I just don't have time. I go, open up your phone. Mm-hmm. Let me see your activity.
Right.
Oh, look, here's 4 hours a day just on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just on Instagram.
That was one thing when I've done 75 hard before. And there were nights where I was out walking at 8 o'clock at night because I needed to get that second workout in. But it actually helped me because it made me realize that like, oh, I can make time out of my day for things that we make time out of our day for anything that's important to us. We need to start making fitness important enough to take time out of our day for.
No, 100%. Any other words of wisdom from Katie before we wrap things up?
Words of wisdom?
Anything else you want to give us?
Just believe in yourself. That probably sounds so cheesy. Just have confidence in yourself that you could do amazing things if you put in the work. And the other side of that, it can be just something fantastic. Like, just don't stop. Just whether it's the gym or whatever, just don't stop what you're doing. Just find what makes you happy and just continue to do it.
No, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Katie.
Thanks
it was a pleasure having you. It's always good to have a listener on the podcast and to hear your story. You have an amazing story. So thank you so much for sharing. It's going to inspire a lot of people out there.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit, and feel free to DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you, and we're always looking for new things to talk about. Until next time, good luck, have fun. Nailed it.